Ladies and gentlemen, help support your local businesses. Whether they're your corner stores, coffee spots, or favorite shops, local businesses have always been on your team, supporting you and your community. But right now, more than ever, they need our support. So let's be there for them. The next time you go shopping, make the choice to shop at local businesses and look for the contactless symbol and tap to pay with a contactless Visa to help support your community. Because where and how you shop matters. Visa, everywhere you want to be, the official partner of the NFL.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, Eagles fans, to this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on episode 2 this week, alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri. It's stock up, stock down. We'll get into what was good about, there wasn't a lot, Gino, but we'll get into some of the positives of that loss against the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday, 37-19. The Eagles dropped to 0-2 on the season. I think this is, I said it on the podcast on Monday, feels like a new low in the Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz era, but we'll try to find some positives, what players stood out and weren't part of the problem against Los Angeles, and then we'll do stock down as well. And Gino, you've got a bone to pick with a bunch of guys, and I think that's pretty fair the way this football team is playing all across the board. You can just keep blaming Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, and Howie Roseman all you want. It's correct, but I think it's also lazy. I think this entire team, outside of a couple guys, are really dragging down what was a very promising season. Obviously not even close to being over, but it's been a team effort in this 0-2 downfall so far.
Well, it is September 22nd, and we're going into week 3, and this is the fifth year that Jim Schwartz is around, and I think for the first time ever, he has held himself accountable, which I was not expecting him to say in his press conference today. But it was a little bit of a relief after hearing Doug Peterson absolutely put on a debauchery of a press conference
The
game. And at this point with Doug, to me, it's either one, he just clearly has a misunderstanding of what he has for a team, or two, he's just very set in his ways, how he treats his offense and Carson Wentz, that he thinks he can get through it with what he has. And frankly, I think they can, but they're going to have to take some adjustments and some major adjustments. And frankly, Jim Schwartz, he said it today. He said, I don't know really much what he said with that one quote saying that he made it so simple that it made it difficult, which kind of was an oxymoron of sorts. And,
That's
Jim Schwartz's career here in Philadelphia, has been this oxymoron of a defense that just really drives you crazy. Mm-hmm. And now we're sitting here with, people have been hitting me up on Twitter saying, do we hit the rebuild button? And one thing, we're in week 2, so let's relax. But
yeah,
two,
I hate that.
you look at a lot of these players across the board, and hey, is a reshuffle in the cards? Is maybe a Fletcher Cox trade really shake things up? Because right now, Lou, the status quo has been the status quo for the past 2.5 years, in my opinion. And something drastic has to happen for it to shake things up, because I don't think bringing new guys in the offseason really did anything. I don't think bringing in these new players on offense has done much, and these new players on defense hasn't done much either, because the people responsible for putting them in those positions haven't adapted in their ways. And Doug Peterson and Dave Phipp and Jim Schwartz, those three gentlemen have to be held responsible, and same to Howie Roseman to an extent. I mean, he is responsible for putting this roster together, and hey man, would I have loved to have Akeem Davis Gaither or Logan Wilson in the second or third round to be playing and covering Tyler Higbee last week? Absolutely. But hey, this is the team we have, and Jalen Mills said it today, like, we can't sit back and say, oh, I wish we had Malcolm and I wish we had this player. And
well, yeah, Jalen Mills is like, please don't talk about the guy that I replaced. Stop criticizing.
this is the team, man. Like, you have to either shake your head and sulk or move forward, which they have so many times. And why now are we folding over and dying when we still have
that's
a
just the nature of
roster, you know?
That's just the nature of this fan base, man. I mean, that's what's going to happen. We've seen it the past 3 years. It doesn't matter how many times they prove they can overcome this. This is just what happens in Philadelphia, and it comes for with the nature of the beast. And look, they play the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, who are 0-2. They play a 49ers team in 2 weeks that are down their best pass rusher in Nick Bosa, their best pass catcher in George Kittle, their quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. So in a couple weeks, we might not be talking about any of this at 2-2. So I want to be that podcast, and we have been over the past couple years, that we're objective, we're certainly critical, but I'm tired of going overblown after a couple tough stretches over the last 3 years. I'm tired of this whole blow it up conversation we continue to have, and then it goes away. Look, when we actually have to have that conversation, we will have it. I just don't think we're even close to that.
Do you think a drastic change of sorts needs to happen? Say the defense allows 450 yards to that Joe Burrow offense they lose. Do you agree that something should happen?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm not saying I don't want them to fire Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson. I don't want them to bench Carson Wentz.
No, neither do I. No.
Yeah. No. And I'm not saying you are. I've seen those suggestions over and over again over the last 2 weeks. Am I okay with them firing Jim Schwartz maybe next week? That's not something that, look, I wanted that to happen in the offseason. Eventually, you're right. Although they've been able to overcome these obstacles the past 2 years to get into the playoffs, those obstacles, a lot of them are self-inflicted. Outside of the injuries, there's been a lot of inconsistencies on both sides of the football and in the front office the past 2 years. Eventually, I don't want to say it's firing one of those, you know, big three important parts of your organization in Wentz, Howie, or Doug, but yes, there eventually will come a time where you need to be held accountable when I still think you have a pretty good roster and you're just not coming even close to meeting that potential, and you haven't been over the past 3 years. We'll get into more negatives, though, Gino, in stock down. I want to get to a quick injury report before we take a break. Starting left guard, Isaac Seumalo. The Eagles just cannot catch a break up front with their health this year. Isaac Seumalo placed on injured reserve, so they are now down three starters that they wanted to play week one. It was going to be Andre Dillard at left tackle, Isaac Seumalo at left guard, Jason Kelsey at center, Brandon Brooks at right guard, and Lane Johnson at right tackle. You're down Brandon Brooks, you were down Andre Dillard, and now Seumalo going down is just brutal, Gino. They've had injuries the past couple of years, but it has not been up front, so they've been able to overcome that because of how good their lines have been. But Seumalo's a big loss. I liked what I saw from Matt Pryor on Sunday. I think Nate Herbig has been good as well inside, but eventually, I mean, you can't just keep losing these core pieces and expect to be able to overcome this.
Right, yeah. Next up is Sua Opeta on the interior, if I'm not mistaken.
That's the problem, man. They're one injury away from this being maybe a disaster.
Absolutely. That's the thing. They've been the next man up position so many times, but literally, I couldn't imagine being down four starters on the offensive line. No team overcomes that. I mean, you can't make that stuff up. Like that is just an injury situation from hell that, hey, we are only one player away from that happening. But I'm not going to ruin anything. But the offensive line didn't look too bad last Sunday.
No, it did not. Yes, that was not a negative of that loss against the Rams. We'll get into some positives coming up. It's Stock Up, Stock Down right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, and is brought to you today by RockAuto.com. One reason to repair and to maintain your cars is to save money, right? That you can use that money for other important things like the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership when you can go to rockauto.com? It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. If you go to rockauto.com today, you're going to find body parts and auto parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Go to RockAuto.com today to find the parts available for your car or your truck. Make sure you write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into segment two of this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, it's stock up, stock down time, Gino. Getting into one last look at this loss to the Rams from a team perspective. Tomorrow is Wentz Wednesday. We'll dive deep into Carson Wentz and what has gone wrong with him over the last 2 weeks. But to get back into this Rams game, the Eagles lose 37-19 on Sunday. They're 0-2. There was a lot of negatives, Gino, that we'll get into, a lot of bad play on both sides of the football, bad coaching, bad management in the front office right now. It's a mess currently to start the season. But there were some positives. There were some players, I think, on both sides. You even kind of teased it at the end of segment one on offense that actually did play pretty well. There were parts of this team that weren't being held back and were big reasons you almost got back into that football game when you probably shouldn't have.
For sure, man. And I have to right now owe an apology to one player that I've bashed on this show time and time again.
Nate Geary.
No, not him yet. Not him yet. That being Rudy Ford. I really think that kid has come a long way in less than a calendar year on special teams. And frankly, without him, they would be in some bad field positions from the special teams perspective, because he has made some big open field tackles for them. He made a couple more big open field tackles for them in that game against the Rams. And I think overall that special teams unit is just really looking probably like the best of the three so far. Dave Phipp always just has his unit together and they always do a dang good job. And I got to say, Rudy Ford, his progression from last year to this year, where he seemingly was a liability for that unit. Now if Craig James isn't on this team, you're arguing that he should be the second captain for that unit.
Sure, absolutely. Rudy Ford's stock is certainly up. He's played great the last 2 weeks. That special teams unit, you got to look at T.J. Edwards too, Gino, with that forced fumble. Sure. Gave the Eagles the ball back in the red zone. Miles Sanders capitalizes. It's a 5-point game at halftime. Special teams was really positive for the Birds on Sunday. Going to the defensive side of the football, it's really frustrating that this mess of a season so far has started the way it has, because the one thing we've been dying for that's been the biggest weakness of this Eagles defense for the last decade has been the cornerback position and the missing piece that is a true CB1. One thing that's gone well for the Eagles this year is that they found that CB1 in Darius Slay. Say everything you want about Howie Roseman right now, but one thing he did this year was absolutely steal Darius Slay from the Detroit Lions for what only ended up being a third round pick, because that fifth was Jason Huntley, who the Lions took, and then you got him off waivers. So Darius Slay over the last 2 weeks, I mean, just listen to these numbers. 4 targets in 2 weeks, only 2 catches allowed for 18 yards, no touchdowns, a 62.5 passer rating allowed when targeted, and he's been a great tackler too, Gino. That's something we kind of overlooked because we were just so into his playmaking ability, shadowing and man coverage, right, his speed. He's got 5 tackles. He had an incredible tackle for a loss the other day that saved potentially a touchdown run. One thing this defense has had go right for them so far in this team is that Darius Slay is as advertised. He is an absolute stud that bounced back from what people see last year as a down year. I mean, he's been incredible, and it feels good to finally have that CB1.
The two positions that when you're listening to a game that you don't want to hear the player's name called are at the offensive line position and the cornerback position.
Right.
And you're right. I really haven't heard a lot about Slay when you're watching the game outside of when he got injured and had to get his finger taped up, which is huge that he's a battler and he's going to battle through injuries like that. And even when the defense is getting beat, man, he has been beyond solid. He's been what we've been looking for at that position for so long. And it stinks that everybody else around him just isn't making plays, because he's doing his job. He's definitely earning his paycheck and beyond that. And like you said, we haven't seen it in so long, and now we can't even really appreciate it because we let up 31 and 37 points. Like, it's unfair.
Absolutely. His stock, though, is certainly up, as is Rudy Ford. Gino, you got another guy that impressed you on Sunday?
Yeah, I have to say, Nate Herbig, man. I thought he did a dang good job. I thought that big fella, to me, he's just like, I don't even know. Like, he's one of those like Russian nesting dolls.
He's a mauler,
like, in
man.
A football uniform, you know? Like, he's just stocky, built like a refrigerator, like those refrigerators you had in college dorm room, like just big and bulky. And he frankly he did a pretty solid job against Aaron Donald and company, and I thought him and Lane Johnson being on that right side meshed very well together. Him getting up to the second level was very impressive when I went back and we looked over the tape. He's just somebody that you didn't expect him to make contributions coming in this year, and he's one of those surprises that we talk about, Lou, that you see these teams around the league where a guy like Tyreek Hill comes out of the woodwork, just a middle-of-the-road pick that all of a sudden he's a star, and not that Nate Herbig is a star to any degree, but he's a solid player that if he can contribute at a player where you're drop-off from arguably the best right guard in football
right.
to even a solid contributor is going to be big already, but the fact that you didn't hear much about Nate Herbig last week after a dreadful week one, which he honestly wasn't that bad in week one, I would say. I didn't think he was the worst of the offensive linemen in that game. And frankly, this team trusts him. They developed him. They brought him in as a center and moved him to right guard. I think that's, out of the two guys that I picked, what you have seen in both of them is development. And that's been something that we have questioned in this team for quite some time. But you talk all you want about draft picks not hitting, and a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who unfortunately didn't have another good game. But
sorry, buddy.
Guys that come out of the woodwork like Nate Herbig and go out there and have solid games. And Isaac Seumalo has one of the team-friendliest contracts in the entire league. So you need guys like that to win football games. And I was very, very in shock by how he performed, and I was very pleased by it.
Props to Jeff Stoutland, man. I mean, it just feels
for
like
sure.
whoever is
Absolutely.
Out there. Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, like you said, he's not Brandon Brooks, but Nate Herbig has been very serviceable in between Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson, and Matt Pryor was good on Sunday as well.
Pryor might
left guard.
Be better in the run game than Isaac, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah.
He has a little bit more aggression in his game than Isaac.
Him and
does.
Herbig were maulers on the ground on Sunday. I was really impressed with their rushing offense. The problem was Doug Peterson just, it was too inconsistent. I will finish stock up Geno with the running back of this football team, the bell cow, who got 23 touches on Sunday.
I like how
and
you
that
said
is
that. The running back of this football team.
The running back. Goodbye, running back by committee, man. It's Miles Sanders, and he had 131 total yards
and
against the Rams.
Out of shape, Miles Sanders, bro. Can you imagine when he's healthy and fully
yeah.
fit?
And he had a touchdown. He averaged 4.8 yards per carry. The fumble, you know, to start the game was demoralizing, and it really took the wind out of their sails. They were moving the football, but Geno Sanders, there was even stuff left on the field. There were some big completions that Carson Wentz missed to Miles Sanders, and look, it's just so good. Again, I mentioned Darius Slay, having that missing piece that is a true CB1. The other thing this Eagles team has missed over the last, I would say, I don't know, 6 years since LeSean McCoy's been gone, was a true do-it-all weapon in the backfield, and man, they have that in Miles Sanders.
Absolutely, dude. He was what this team was missing in week one.
Was.
And if they had him week one, it's a much different conversation, even without Lane Johnson being there. And yeah, you're right. There was a lot of meat left on the plate, even in just the passes that Carson missed to him. I think even his decision-making early on in that game was a little bit hit or miss, but he got better as the game went on. And that's,
for sure.
That's the thing you've seen. It didn't take them 3 or 4 weeks to figure it out.
He didn't have
them
a training camp, Geno, or a preseason.
Right.
I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, it's impressive. And he said he was out of shape, too. So I don't even want to see him when he's in fully fit game shape, when they get the things clicking, when they get the downfield passing balance with this check down game that all of a sudden came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. When you have a guy like Miles Sanders, the check down isn't half bad. But making it so predictable that you have a one-read look that all your running back has to do is beat the guy in leverage, and if the linebacker has leverage, your play is dead. That's not how you use Miles Sanders. Like, you need to get him more involved down the field as well. I thought they did a good job of getting him into the flat, but they need to get him involved over the middle, man. I thought they did a good job with that in Jalen Reagor in this last game, who we didn't mention him yet, but hats off to him, because that catch he made, Lou, across the middle.
Oh my gosh.
Nelson Agholor doesn't make in his wildest
dreams. He got smoked
dreams.
Too. Reagor took a beating, Geno, but he showed a lot of toughness on Sunday. I was impressed.
Showed me he was a baller, man. He
yeah.
really did. He went out there, he took some licks, but he said, I'm going to get right back up and go out there. Everything that he has done, going out there with a 2 to 4 week stamp on his time frame for his injury, comes back way before that. He's healthy week one. Week two, he goes out there and Carson absolutely laid out some hospital passes for him. And he didn't complain at all. He just kept getting up there and kept playing football. And I think that was huge to see out of him.
This episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Built Bar. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the best tasting protein bar you can find out there. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones. You got caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry Garcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. It's a healthy alternative to your normal everyday snack. 19 grams of protein, only 180 calories in each bar. If you go to BuiltBar.com today and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, Eagles fans, we're wrapping up this Tuesday of Locked On Eagles. Stock up, stock down. We got into some positives. The stock for Darius Slay, Rudy Ford, Nate Herbig, Miles Sanders are all up. But, Gino, now let's get into a lot of the negatives that have been around this team the past 2 weeks as to why they're 0-2. Obviously, look, we're going to dive deep into Carson Wentz tomorrow. So I don't even know if you want to get into him stock down. Maybe we'll focus on other people. Doug Peterson as well. But it's not just those two and Howie Roseman, and those are the three that are being talked to death, of course, because they're the most three, I think they're the three most important pieces of this puzzle. But, Gino, there is just a lot of blame to go around, and I think a lot of people have been getting passes that really shouldn't.
Absolutely, my friend, and you kind of set that up perfectly for my first person.
Do it.
And
go off.
Do you want me to start with Jimbo or the other one?
I'll go ahead. I pick your poison, brother.
Jim Schwartz arguably has had the biggest, let's say, roller rink NFL career that you could ever have. Like, you know, in a roller rink, like you're just getting going, you're just casually rolling around, nothing much is going on. Like, that's been Jim Schwartz. He's kind of been skating by without many people kind of targeting him outside of his little stretch as a head coach. He's only had 1 year where he's had a solid defense, and that was that year in Buffalo. Outside of that, in Philadelphia, Lou, you could say that this defense has been a huge liability for this team.
Yep.
They have not made adjustments in 5 years, and that's not a joke. Go back and look. He's still running the same defenses that he ran year one.
It's the same exact issues.
He's running these stupid cover threes that these guys have to cover ground that no way in their mind that they could ever cover. He has guys playing in position that shouldn't even be on the field. He has let up 23 points on average the last 8 games. You talk about all the money put into this defense, spending nearly $60 million at the defensive line in 3 players alone. Man, what more does this team have to give Jim Schwartz to give him a top 5 defense?
Yep. They have all the talent. They have everything you need. Well, maybe you don't have linebackers, but that also,
I mean,
by the way, Gino,
have basically everything else.
Yeah, and that's on Jim Schwartz too. We know the personnel control, the say he has with Howie Roseman. He handpicks a lot, if not all, of this defense. I'm just sick of the. I don't know, man. He doesn't get a pass. He gets a lot of criticism, but so much is focused on Howie, Doug, and Carson that, like you said, this defense has slipped by for 5 years and has been an issue. This defense has not been a strength of the team since 2016. Regardless of winning a Super Bowl and making the playoffs the past 3 years, they constantly get a pass. And Wentz, Doug, Howie, the offense takes the blunt, the majority of the criticism. And like you said, man, when we talk about accountability in segment one, Jim Schwartz is number one right now and a guy that needs to be held accountable, because at least Doug Peterson, when he's been in these ruts over the past couple of years, like, he gets out of that funk. Carson Wentz has shown that he can get out of that funk. Jim Schwartz, he is so bullish. He does the same things regardless of personnel. It's the same issues. This defense never is opportunistic. They never get turnovers. The defensive line is struggling. Jim Schwartz continues to, since he's not held accountable, he doesn't hold Jalen Mills accountable, Nate Geary. He's got this stable of guys that he stands by no matter what. Meanwhile, I'm watching my boy Rasul Douglas thrive in Carolina, and Jim Schwartz never gave him a chance. It's not about Zool, but it's just, Gino, you know, it's the same talking points over and over again with this defense, and they just they're, the, to me, the bigger problem over the past 5 years, and it's more frustrating now because we went into this season thinking, wow, they have a better secondary, their front four is healthy, they have maybe the best defensive tackle group in football, and yet Jim Schwartz, it still is not working. It's the same problems, and today he even admitted that it's, he had too simple of a game plan on Sunday. Yeah, there's been coaches that have said this Eagles defense is the easiest to figure out, and there's a part of that that I like. There's a part that I like of just letting your players go out and play, you know, go play downhill and go get the football. But it's just, he never adjusts, man. There, it's just so obvious every week what the issues are. And I'm just, I'm so tired of talking about this guy on this podcast, man. We've been doing it for 3 years now.
And saying the same exact thing.
Yeah, it's just, it's, like, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse and I feel bad for the listeners, but it's the same crap.
It is. I mean, you, I think you made an absolutely excellent point saying how much influence he has on personnel on defense. People complain about LJ Fort not being there and Rasul right. Douglas. He has a huge input on that. And I said something, I remember it clear as day when we were in the studio at WGR here in yep. Buffalo talking to the 4th and John guys. And I looked at E-Rock and Gale and I said, you can't look at me and tell me Howie Roseman hasn't done enough for, we were talking about cornerbacks at the time, for that cornerback group, now talking about the defense alone, to say that Jim Schwartz shouldn't have a top defense and shouldn't have good position groups all around. You want to hear something funny, Lou? There are only three coaches on this defense from 2016 that are still here in 2020. You want to know who they are? Number one is Tim Houck at the safety position, which I'm fine with. I think they've developed, they've done a good job with the safety position. The second is Ken Flagel at the linebacker position, which is terrible.
Yeah.
And then the defense, I think Ken Flagel is actually a good coach. I just think he has bad players there. But the last is Jim Schwartz.
Mm-hmm.
You turn over all these position units and all these positional coaches, but your defense is still doing the same mistakes and still putting out the same personnel that fails to get the job done. You have to look at your defensive coordinator at more than just saying, okay, yeah, he's been good in the past. Like, no, he hasn't been good for this Eagles unit. The Carolina game, the Tennessee game, yesterday, last week against Washington, they have now, I think, Ruben Frank of NBC Sports Philly put out that this is the second most points allowed in the first two games since 1974, if I'm not mistaken.
That's the problem, Gino, is like they've always been weak.
That's
giving up yards. Yes, they've always been this bend don't break kind of team. And the problem this year is they're breaking. They've allowed in nine red zone trips, you know, they've allowed seven touchdowns. So there's just not a lot to like about this defense at all. And it starts with Jim Schwartz, but it trickles down. Gino, I want you to get into this linebacking core. You watched a lot of the film this week. Make sure you should make sure you guys follow Gino on Twitter at @Gino_LOE. He was breaking down the linebackers today. And look, that's also on Jim Schwartz, man. I bet you, I mean, he's Nate Geary starting. That's on Schwartz. I'm sure he told Howie Roseman that he's confident he can get the best out of Geary, Duke Riley, TJ Edwards. Schwartz has say in that. And when you look at the linebacking position and what a liability they were. And the, again, we talk about the same issues this defense has. One of them is that this defense, especially the linebackers, suck against play action and against misdirection. They're undisciplined and they're not held accountable just like their defensive coordinator. And that starts with Nate Geary, man. I mean, just you saw the film today. I could see in your tweets, I could feel the rage when you hit that send button.
Because like you said, you hate talking about Jim Schwartz on this show. I hate talking about who will now be referred to on this show.
Oh,
never
yes.
again as by his rightful name. He is now Philadelphia Eagles football player number 47 because he is so ungodly awful at playing his position. And not that it's an unimportant position, like a weak side linebacker, like that Camus role that Camus had last year. No, he's your Mike linebacker, your primary coverage linebacker, the person who is responsible for setting up the defense, but he can't even get his self set up in the correct position. It's not just him though. all the linebackers played poorly yesterday. I think there's only one that should be on the field at any time, and that's TJ Edwards, strictly to be between the tackles.
Sure.
Every other person on the field, I think, should be a safety or cornerback. Because when Will Parks comes back, I never want to see two linebackers on the field because it is that bad. They simply did not do themselves any justice for about 3.5 quarters. And by then, it was way too late. And when your coach isn't putting you in a position to win, and you just simply aren't a good football player, you are not going to have success against a team that uses so much play action and uses so much motion. And you're right, Lou. It's just undisciplined and running yourself into a position where you completely take yourself out of the play, not even understanding where the ball is. I tweeted it out today. I tweeted four pictures, which were in a stretch of three drives of just this team, these linebackers, simply not being able to key and diagnose where the ball is. Just not even where the play is, where the ball is. They were looking between the gaps, just struggling to find the ball all throughout the game. Nobody could even get a grip on what Sean McVay was doing to them. And you're right, Lou, it does start with Jim Schwartz. But also at the same time, man, you can't tell me number 47 is good enough to play in the National Football
League.
Dude,
Davian Taylor's got to be more useful. Sean Bradley.
Sean Bradley doing, bro? He can at least run fast.
There's got to be a free agent out there that can do more than what Nate. I think Nate Geary's the worst starting linebacker in football, and I'm not even being overdramatic,
by
man.
By far. I mean, he cost you alone 14 to 21 points in that game.
Yep.
Two touchdowns to Tyler Higbee, who all of a sudden is just a marvel in the NFL now, and just completely undisciplined in every other facet, and goes to Duke Riley, who had a poor game, and TJ Edwards, I thought it kind of stinks for the position that he's in, because he's left to clean up this mess that is the middle of the field, and it was just nobody held their gap. Nobody was true to their man-and-man coverage. Nobody was true to their zone. Man, it was just undisciplined football. And you talk about all these teams that have new head coaches, dude, the Philadelphia Eagles look like the ones that have the newest head coach in the division, not the other teams. They look just outright undisciplined as a complete unit.
Well, and Gino, we all the time on this podcast have kind of said, like, when it comes to defense, we care about the defensive line. We care about corners, safeties, linebackers are the last thing. Like, we don't want this team to invest a ton in this position. But what we both said when Nigel Bradham left was, okay, we don't want three linebackers out there a majority of the time. Like, it stinks that Will Parks hasn't been out there, because instead they've been using Marcus Epps instead of Kayvon Wallace. So you just haven't had the personnel you want. So you've kind of had to rely on your linebackers. We both don't want this defense built around that position, but there's the one spot that we both said you need to fill. And it's why we were both okay with Patrick Queen in the first round, the LSU linebacker who is now killing it with the Baltimore Ravens. We said that one linebacker that's going to be on the field on every down, that's an important role that the Eagles do not have anymore without Nigel Bradham. And when you lose Malcolm Jenkins as well, when you refuse to try to make it work with him, you're losing those two players on the second level. You've got to replace that, and they did not replace that. They thought it was going to be Nate Geary or Jalen Mills, and it's neither one. So that's the issue, is that role is missing, and hopefully when they get Will Parks back, they can really move away from that position. But that is the state of the defense right now, and look, that's what we wanted to focus on here in Stock Down, because we've talked to death about this offense. We know the issues with Carson Wentz, and we'll get into it more tomorrow, and with Doug, and with, you know, the injuries.
And they're taking the brunt of it, man, which is
but the defense
fair.
Just doesn't, the defense over the last 3 years, kind of, even the Super Bowl season, like, they kind of go under the radar, and not that they're not criticized, but, I mean, we talk about Carson Wentz, right, and all this criticism. Carson Wentz would have three straight NFC East championships if the defense in 2018 don't blow two fourth and ten plus plays against Tennessee, and like you mentioned, against Carolina. Carson Wentz is 8-5 that year. They probably win the East. So the defense,
could probably go back to those episodes and hear the same exact thing we're talking.
Yeah, that's
about,
why I
Rick.
Feel bad, but it's that's what sucks, is it's the same talking points, and that's why, like you said in segment one, I'm not talking blow it up, rebuild. There's some ridiculous, I don't want to be on Eagles Twitter right now. It's been brutal the last 2 weeks, but what I will say, like you did, is accountability. There's got to be something that happens if this continues. And I look at the defense and I'm saying, we're all talking about the offense. There needs to be a ton. There needs to be a huge, big time look at that unit. And there's got to be changes made because I can't take the way they play football anymore, man. Mm-hmm. It's not for a team that's for a defense that's simple and supposed to be aggressive. Where are the turnovers? They have one this year, and it's from special teams. They never bail out the offense ever.
Never. That's the thing. We were talking about last week with Washington. Their defense set them up with fantastic field position. Mm-hmm. We'd say that as a negative for Carson Wentz, but hey, man, Dwayne Haskins was thanking his defense. When has Carson Wentz thanked his defense one time this year? Mm-hmm. He thanked his special teams unit when Dave Phipps' unit went out there and forced a fumble when they needed one. Jim Schwartz's unit hasn't done anything for this team.
Right.
In the Super Bowl, the most important game that this team has played in the last 3 years, the defense gave up 505 yards in the air.
And he watched Darby get destroyed by Gronk when Jalen Mills did a great job on Gronk in the first half, and he refused to adjust, and he had Corey Graham and Ronald Darby getting fleeced. And it almost cost him the football game, Gino. The Patriots took a lead in that second half. And so we talk about accountability. Yes, Doug, Carson, Howie. Yes, we get it. Look at Jim Schwartz, man. I thought with Mike Groh, Carson Walsh going out the door in the offseason, I thought Schwartz should have followed them. All right, Gino. So we'll get, look, that stock down. I think we'll put a wrap on it for today. Tomorrow, we'll get more into the offense. It's Wentz Wednesday. We'll talk about what's going on with number 11. It'll lead into some Doug Peterson talk as well, and really just the state of the offense in general. But that's going to do it for today's edition of the podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, everybody, at Lockdown Birds, at DiBiase LOE, at Gino_LOE. We've got 4 to 6 episodes a week being downloaded into your phone. Subscribe to Locked On Eagles on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.